Studio 360.
This hour of Studio 360 is all about what goes into making songs and singing them. You heard the Broadway lyricist Sheldon Harnick talk about going to a singing coach not long ago when he was worried about losing his voice. Singers can seem like divas when they fuss with scarves and special teas and only whisper between performances. But if your voice was the basis for your livelihood and you lost it, who would you call? Producer Richard Paul found out.
When you hear this,
and I will...
you have every right to be amazed. How the hell was she able to do that? No, seriously, how? It turns out the answer is equally amazing, because singers like Whitney Houston don't have anything that you don't have.
They have the same muscles. They don't have bigger lungs. They have the same size lungs as other people.
That's Dr. Linda Carroll, a voice rehabilitation specialist. Not only don't they have bigger lungs, what they have is not a bigger anything. None of us do. It's actually really, really small.
I can place all your vocal muscles into one corner of one facial muscle.
That is Dr. Steven Zeitels, ear, nose, and throat doctor to the stars. Dr. Zeitels, who's the director of the Voice Center at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, has saved some of the most famous voices in the world. There's this one.
Take your records, take your freedom, take your memory.
That's Keith Urban. This one.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field.
That's Fox Sports announcer Joe Buck, and maybe most famously,
so hail from the other side.
In all three cases, Dr. Zeitels did surgery on what's called the vocal folds, a tiny little apparatus located inside your larynx. The vocal folds are made up of white ligaments shaped like the two arms of the letter V.
They're attached in the front to the V, and then they're attached in the back to this structure called the arytenoid cartilage.
If you've ever watched the video from a laryngoscope inside the larynx of a singer, you can see a white V and watch the arms get wider and narrower as the song pours out.
What you don't see is the muscles under the white ligament, which are controlling the position of the vocal fold, as well as how long they are. You see the white part of the ligament, and you have a transparent and translucent membrane, as well as this submembrane layer called the superficial lamina propria.
That doesn't really help you picture how it works, so try this. Think about that engine sound that children make when they're playing with their toy trucks.
If I bring my lips together and blow, you'll hear them go in and out and flutter. That's called entrained vibration.
That's what the vocal folds do. And again, this whole device, the vocal folds, the lamina propria, it's really small. To show just how small, Linda Carroll says, take out a penny, now draw a triangle on the front of it.
What we're talking on is the length of that little triangle you've just drawn. And the depth of the vibrating edge is the depth of that penny.
And yet when they vibrate, this is what you get. That's the great Metropolitan Opera soprano Renee Fleming. And so is this.
If you take any kind of an instrument, whether it's a violin or a piano, the strings sort of represent what the vocal folds do.
She says when you're singing, it's just like plucking a string.
If you do that with a rubber band, it just makes a twang sound. But if you put that string on a box, then it resonates and creates a beautiful sound. So for the voice, it's the same thing. You're putting air through the folds, they vibrate, and the resonating chambers, which are your mouth, your throat, your sinuses, create the color.
Now, of course, just like with every other part of the human body, all of this only works at its peak for a while.
At 52, things start to go downhill. But 75, you can go along fine, and then all of a sudden,
it don't hurt anymore.
This is Johnny Cash at 70.
All my teardrops have dried. No more walking the floor.
If you can get to age 80, you're stable till you're dead.
I'll throw off my sorrow.
Tony Bennett at 86.
Beg, steal, or borrow my share of laughter.
It's not that the tissues are old. They've lost their elasticity from the opportunity of singing a lot and having trauma.
Singers of all ages come into Steven Zeitel's medical practice all the time with trauma.
What singers more often than not sustain is ongoing collision forces and shearing stresses to that delicate layer, which has very tiny blood vessels. And so if the blood vessels hemorrhage, you get bleeding in the vocal fold. If they repeatedly hemorrhage, they can get scar because the body doesn't like blood. It has to actually send certain types of cells to make it go away.
The strains that can bring on trauma are all part of a singer's life on the road. Breathing dried out air in airplanes, singing in towns or buildings that have allergens you don't have back home. Renee Fleming says it can also come from the type of singing you do.
Pop and music theater singing, particularly with girls, and rock singing for men, that's very hard on the voice.
Also country music, which is kind of a special case. As it's turned more pop-driven, country singing has become particularly hard for women. Women's voices are mostly higher than men's, of course, but country has almost always asked women to sing more often in their lower register, what's called chest voice. In the past, women would just as often speak their lyrics as sing them, like Skeeter Davis here in 1962.
Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry?
But not these days. Dr. Tom Cleveland is a med school professor at Vanderbilt University in Nashville who runs a clinic for country singers.
Today, people think they have to sing their songs, and they have so much of it going back, trying to push the chest voice up, and they work harder and harder.
And you left me.
What we find in our clinic, when people don't do a mix of head and chest, when they don't mix, then they carry the chest voice up to a C or a D above middle C, maybe an E, and those people eventually, they come in, and we see this, they have polyps.
Polyps are these skin flaps that extend off of stalks that can grow in your throat or your nose. They can be removed, but there's only a small group of specialists who singers trust to do that kind of delicate surgery. 19 years ago, that tight-knit band of surgeons was shaken to its core when an operation destroyed one of the 20th century's most beautiful voices forever.
I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things.
Julie Andrews was a healthy 62-year-old in 1997, but when routine polyp surgery with another doctor went tragically awry, not only was her legendary singing voice gone, she could barely speak.
I'm acutely aware that there are so many individuals who suffer daily from the negative consequences and emotional isolation associated with vocal challenges, and I know firsthand how devastating this can be.
2 years later, she went to see Dr. Zeitel's. He took out some of the scarring from the original surgery and stretched some tissue to restore a little of the pliability. She still can't sing, but you heard there, at least now she can speak. Now, if you'd like to avoid surgery in the first place, there are things you can do. A simple one is just vocal rest. Renee Fleming says that's particularly necessary for opera singers because they work without microphones. So you know how starting pitchers in baseball only work every 5 days? Opera's like that.
I'll sing twice a week, three times a week max.
And just like a pitcher, when she's not working, it's total rest.
I don't talk in restaurants. I don't shout. If it's an important performance, I will never go out the night before. I try to stay quiet.
That's harder, of course, for pop singers who tour so much and people in musical theater with 8 shows a week. But if they really do fry their voices and end up in the surgeon's office, it's kind of remarkable just what they can do to make you better. This will make you feel old, but Steven Tyler is nearly 70. He's been torturing his vocal folds like this since he was a teenager. And by the way, yes, he is also one of Dr. Zeitel's patients. Several years ago, he got Tyler to agree to wear a stroboscope when he sang on stage. It's a machine that tracks your vocal frequency. They use it for Parkinson's patients to remind them to speak louder. Clearly something Steven Tyler doesn't need. He actually sings at 105 decibels. That's basically the sound of a table saw for 70 minutes every night. When they checked the stroboscope, Dr. Zeitel says they found
he had collided his vocal folds probably about 780,000 times in one show. So I took a big chance at the high school dance, missing who was ready to play. Then a number of years later, he was on tour and his voice just cut out.
What he figured out was that right in the middle of that famous high note in Dream On, Tyler ruptured a blood vessel in his vocal fold. Now, when blood goes into the vocal fold,
it changes its mass and its vibratory functions. You're actually bleeding into the layer of the superficial lamina propria where there's this delicate blood vessels and microcirculation. And so now he has a system that's been altered in a moment and it makes it unable to sing properly.
And here's where that whole miracles of modern science thing comes in. Doctors have been using lasers, where light burns the tissue in its path, on humans since the late 1960s. Around 1990, though, another doctor at Mass General came up with a new type of laser called selective photothermolysis. It's so gentle that they use it to remove port wine stain birthmarks from babies. Dr. Zeitel's looked at this technology and drew an important conclusion.
Essentially, an infant's skin is like an adult vocal fold that has to maintain pliability.
He modified the selective photothermolysis laser, and he uses it now to treat hemorrhages in the vocal folds.
I can actually seal the vessels off that have become abnormal and bleeding without burning the vocal fold.
This is the laser he used on Steven Tyler. The result? Well, here he is singing Dream On in 1973. And this is him again 3 years ago at age 65 on American Idol. I'm sorry, that is a miracle. And it's not the only one. Here's Julie Andrews.
Stephen and his group have created a new biomaterial implant. We call it the stuff.
The stuff is PEG 30, made using a polymer called polyethylene glycol. Today, when doctors do vocal surgery, they just have to hope that whatever they don't cut out will still work. But
in the future, we will inject a material that retains pliability so that you can actually dial back in the pliability.
PEG 30 is that material. It takes old skin and puts flexibility back in. The principal catch right now is that the more elastic a material is, the faster it degrades in the body. PEG 30 is pretty elastic. So, yeah, this is still experimental, but can you imagine?
I see a world where we've actually created super singers, where someone in their 80s or 90s will walk in and have an injection in the office and walk out with a transformed voice.
Well, Maybe. Though, you'd have to wonder just how many people would pay to watch an 80-year-old Justin Bieber telling you one more time what you can do to yourself.
'Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself.
And if you think... Richard Paul produced that story with help from Arts Edge, the digital learning program at the Kennedy Center in Washington.